Can we pause and pray? Father God, open our eyes that we might see the majesty and your power, and that we may see you active in our lives now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There are some very beautiful places in our world, which down through the ages Christians have used. They've been inspired by them. Hopefully the slide will show us four such places. Which of these appeal to you? For some of them, they create this sense of awe and wonder. For some of them, it's their beauty. Some of them will make us feel special. And down through the ages, Christians have paused in these places. And here they've heard God speak to them. Whether it's the beauty, it's the tranquility, whether it's away from the noise and the invasion of society. But we found these places, which will hopefully appear, have inspired us, made us think, and helped us move into the presence of God. Are these the only places where God speaks to us? So which of those speak to you? Which would you like to be, to pause and listen to what God has to say? And there'll be different answers and different reasons for being there. Are these the only places that God comes to? And the answer is a resounding no. We only have to pause and look to the life of Jesus. Was he ever found in the expected places? Well, sometimes he was. He was found in synagogue and temple, but he was also found at weddings, celebrating. I'm glad to say, Kevin, he was even found in the equivalent of the pub, sitting down and sharing a drink. Hey, that's good news. Sharing a meal, but often with the marginalized, those who were sick and the leper, those who were regarded as outcasts, who everyone said God had finished with, the prostitute and the tax collector, those regarded very far away from God. Would we have expected to have found Jesus there? Would we have expected to find Jesus in the stable, in the manger? Would we have expected to have found Jesus on the cross? And perhaps the answer is no. We are working with a God of surprises. He does what we don't expect. But what about today? Is God present and active in unexpected places today? Can we have the next slide? The one on the top left is a picture of a rubbish dump. And it seems a very odd place to find God. Just outside Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, there is a rubbish dump. Well, there's probably more than one. And here there are families around the outside. And children spend their days rummaging through that. Is it dangerous? Yes. Of course it's dangerous, because nobody cares if they get dumped rubbish upon. They're only children anyway. There are syringes and tablets and poison which could kill them, and they know it. But there's also things that they can pick out and sell. And there's a ready range of people around the outside who will give them a few pence just to take them away and to make a prophet. But there too are some small churches, and although it's a small task, what they do is encourage the children into schools, give them an education that they can break out of this cycle, and they take fathers and parents and give them jobs, small jobs like driving a car or a van or being a labourer. And it breaks this cycle down. Is it making a huge difference? Well, Possibly not, but it's making a difference for some. And where are these churches? Around the outside of these slums made of corrugated iron. God is calling his church to action, and they have responded. God calls and people respond. The second one is Ground Zero. I've been reading Philip Yancey's book, Finding God in Extraordinary Places. And he was invited by the Salvation Army into Ground Zero about 2 days after the event. He went there with fear and trepidation. The Salvation Army, it seems, were the fastest to respond. They were in there, what I would call, doing the business. Yes, with refreshments, but doing things that no one else wanted to do. They worked alongside those working in the rubble, who were removing it and finding bits of clothes and objects and body parts and sorting. And they were there taking the dust out of people's eyes, ministering to their spiritual and emotional needs. That they would go back the next day and the day after, bringing peace and comfort, contacting relatives. And when the people at Ground Zero said, can we have a service twice a day, the Salvation Army paused and gave them that time to be at peace. And when the question came, where is God in all of this? The people of Ground Zero, the workers said, I'll tell you where he is. God is here amongst the rubble. He's here searching and crying and weeping. That's where our God is. And why were they there? Because they were called by God, the human face in this suffering. In Leipzig, just before that wall came down, despite the large feeling against the Russian countries, four pastors met in Leipzig. They opened their church doors and began prayer meetings. At first, there were only about a handful in each church, but they carried on. They carried on praying. They carried on seeking God's will for them and for their futures. And then they took a very bold step. They went out of their churches and led a peaceful protest. In their hands, their weapons were small candles, which they lit. All their attempts were on non-violence, but raising their profile. And all the time they were afraid that they would be shot, because that was the response of Russia in so many other places. It started with 10, 100, 50,000 and beyond. And then they walked through the checkpoint and they went to freedom and the wall came down. And the people of Leipzig knew that God was in the centre of that. And they did not forget God's work in their freedom. And the last one concerns Alcoholics Anonymous, but those addicted, for want of a better term. At every meeting, as the people come together, they recognise they've got a need, a dependency, and they say they turn to others who would help them. And in this declaration, they use this term. They turn and look for the help of a higher power. And what they mean is they turn towards God. They turn and seek his help. Why are those words there in that creed? Because this society was started by Christians, called by God to minister those who were in this place, who were suffering. And here is God calling them out. And the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous is based on a Christian one. And it still is today. And there are more, and you could go on. Street pastors, refugee workers, workers of those in prison. Hey, that rings a bell with Joseph. But what they've all got in common is that they are people who have responded to God's call. It's not what they expected, It's not what they were trained to, or maybe they don't feel they have the gifts to do it. But they became the hands and the feet of God to go and to make a difference. How do you measure the difference that they make? I wouldn't know where to begin. But they are strengthened by God, empowered, and everyone knows they are there. God is present in the mires of our world. We as Christians live a dangerous life. But when we are open to God, all of God's requests might well come with a health warning. We find God in unusual places. He even comes to dwell in us. And perhaps that's the most unusual of all. But that's only part of the picture. I want to take us back to Joseph's father, Jacob. And in Genesis 28, he goes to find a wife. And he pauses in the desert. And the place is so important, it's not got a name. And part of the only thing there are a few stones. And that night he rests his head. But in that encounter with God, two things I think emerge. The first is God comes to meet him. And Jacob doesn't at all find that strange. He is used to encountering God. He is used to finding God. And there he has this discussion. And there is this dialogue. He has an expectation of meeting with God. And I think that's something over the years we've forgotten. We don't expect always to meet with God. And because we often don't expect, I don't think we look perhaps in the right places. But secondly, this. At that time, God gives Jacob the eyes to see. And what he sees is a God who's always active. In the picture, he sees angels going up and down from heaven and then out into the world and ministering to the people. And he understands that the God is entirely active, out there doing things, there to share the needs of the world. He sees a God in action. And what's changed? God does the same today. A few years ago, I invited some people at the parish church to just tell their stories of where they saw God active in their lives. Some told us about how they had prayed for a friend or a relative and they had got well. Some prayed about a new career venture and they brought it before God. Some were quite despondent and upset at different times of their journey, and they prayed. But what it was that made the difference for them is sharing it with God and God working in their lives. They saw God at work, and they celebrated that fact. Wonderful for them. But people on the outside may only see that someone has got better or someone has got a new job. You can see and not see, but may we be a people who see God in action. Some say, oh, they found God. Well, God might say, I've been there all the time, and at last you've seen me. And perhaps the lasting question for me, which I find really challenging, is, what will I be seeing when I see God in action? Will it be a burning bush? Do I need that to be convinced? Do I need a ladder with angels going up and down? What can I expect to see when God is at work? And maybe the simple answer is, I don't know. For over the recent years, we've realized that God is doing new things in different places. And our task is to find out where God is, what he's doing, come out of our comfort zone and work with him. Surely God is in this place and he is active. So will we find God on the high street? Yes. even in Sainsbury's and even on the basketball court, for there he is working. May we see him in the new ways and follow him and take the plunge. Amen.